years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone. This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
A good Catholic is a faithful citizen.
Make America great again!
What's more important here is not saving the country, it's saving your soul.
It's a bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Trust in the media has hit its lowest point.
I want the truth!
What is truth?
Age of the passive layperson can't go on.
It's our job to share that love of Christ with these people.
This is an excellent mission, sir, with an extremely valuable objective.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, this is an excellent program.
You have a wonderful show.
I love listening in my car.
That's a great question to start off with.
You are in for a show tonight.
Here we go again.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Yeah, I realize if you were listening last hour, if you weren't listening last hour, you don't know what we've been doing. But if you were listening last hour, we were talking about disagreements I have with the Southern Poverty Law Center's approach to hate groups and white supremacist groups. And I mentioned two groups, the founders of which are friends of mine, that they actually identify as hate groups. And I said, I don't want to mention the names of either of those groups right now, because I didn't tell the folks I wasn't planning on even bringing that up today. We're going to call one of them right now and see if he'll come on the air and talk with us, because you've heard him on the program many times. And I just thought, let him tell you how his work has been distorted by this group. And then we'll also call this other friend of mine and see if she wants to join us sometime in the near future. But and then we'll call the Southern Poverty Law Center too, and we'll get somebody to follow up on the correspondence here, so we actually have it all nice and you can follow it. Well, lay it out on the air. But the number is 1-877-573-7825. If you weren't with us the last hour, then you're wondering, what am I raving about here? Well, here's what we're doing. Last night, PBS aired, I think it was part of their American Experience series, a program on the Oklahoma City bombing. It was, I thought it was very well done overall. I thought it worth seeing. And my only objection to it was one fellow who they interviewed, I think he was on air two or three times, who seemed to insist that it's impossible to understand Timothy McVeigh's motivations without understanding his involvement in white supremacist groups. And this fellow implied that these white supremacist groups were larger in number and more dangerous in the world than I think they are. Occasionally, people break out. You had people kill Alan Berg back in the 80s, a talk show host. You had this fella in South Carolina, Dylann Roof, who went into a black church and killed people. So I'm not saying terrible things don't happen by people who claim to be white supremacists. I'm simply saying that I don't think these groups have a big constituencies. I think some of them are a little more than websites. And the largest number I've ever heard at a gathering of any of these groups was 200. One group I was reading about last night, 75 people showed up. About half the people who showed up were journalists, and the other half were protesters. There was almost nobody who was associated with the group itself. But joining me right now is Rob Muse, expert in constitutional law, co-founder of the American Freedom Law Center. He has served 13 years in the U.S. Marines. He's the co-author of Offensive and Defensive Lawfare, Fighting Civilizational Jihad in America's Courts. Rob, good to have you here. Thanks for joining me right away.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Al. Appreciate it.
I noticed last night, I watched this documentary last night, and they mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center, recommended them, and I haven't been able to recommend them for years. And then I found out that your organization is actually listed as a hate group. You're probably on this program once a month or so, and we've been strong supporters of the American Freedom Law Center. So how did you end up getting on the being listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Well, you have to understand the politics of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are as far left-wing as you could imagine, a progressive organization, George Soros funded. You know, they have the Family Research Council as a hate group because they disagree with the Family Research Council's Christian view towards marriage.
Right.
You know, my colleague and I were just recently on their hit list for top 15 anti-Muslim extremists.
Yeah.
And one of the examples that they use to show my apparent extremism to put me on their list is I was on a Glenn Beck show, and I mentioned during an interview that the United States of America was a chosen nation, and it was founded upon Judeo-Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the primary examples of my extremism.
Wow.
So, I mean, if anything, it illustrates the extremism of this particular organization. They are so far left, I mean, you just can't even see them. I mean, it really is they're dangerous because that's how they want to vilify people. They want to shut off discourse. They want to, you know, label people hate groups and anti-this and anti-that and extremist this and extremist that, just so they try to, you know, to silence our message so that, you know, people would uninvite us, you know, when we want to speak and so forth.
Right.
The organization is dangerous.
Yeah.
They are a dangerous organization. And when you look at the examples they use for targeting and labeling people, it's absolutely, absolutely absurd.
Well, I noticed. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No. I was going to say, and you know, I think I'm a good example of that. And look at what they wrote up about me as to why I'm so extreme, you know, that I consider our nation a Judeo-Christian nation.
Yeah.
But that's hardly extreme.
No.
That's actually truthful.
Yeah. You know, this is, I was fairly favorable towards them because of their right work in the civil rights movement a long time ago. And then during the 1990s, when the militia movements grew up, and there was a lot of reporting on them, and I knew some people involved in these movements, and, you know, they were of all sorts. I mean, there were some nasty people there, but there were some just fine people, too. And they were just concerned about the increasing centralization of power in the federal government and all this. But I interviewed one of the researchers, and he was so sloppy in the who he was talking about as a white supremacist group that I began to lose confidence in their analysis. I actually knew some of the people then that they were talking about, and I knew they weren't white supremacists. They were more to the right than I was, but they were not white supremacists, for heaven's sakes. And so I just don't get why those who have been abused by this group, like yourself, don't join together and have a showdown on these matters. Can't that be done?
Well, you know, we are very publicly and with the Family Research Council as well going after this this organization and,
okay,
and its so-called legitimacy in the public sphere. You know, some of you listen, they say, well, you know, why don't you sue for defamation and those sorts of things? But this is just opinion. I mean, it really is. And I'm not one to want to stifle speech. You know, they can say all they want about me.
Yeah.
It really doesn't bother me. It's not truthful. It's just a, you know, it really is a hateful opinion, if anything. It's just, it's absurd. But yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center, there's a lot of groups that keep pushing back, and Family Research Council, us, the Center for Security Policy, a lot of other groups that they list on there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, early in, you know, it had a big hand in taking down the KKK.
Right.
So it had some, you know, bona fides,
yeah,
you know, early on.
Yeah.
But they've totally lost themselves.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like the Democratic Party, right? You, could you imagine, you know, John F. Kennedy looking at the Democratic Party today, you think it would be anything he would recognize?
Right.
Not a chance. But the Southern Poverty Law Center is really, they're George Soros funded. They have a real hardcore leftist agenda. I mean, for goodness sake, my colleague, who's an Orthodox Jew, they practically call him an anti-Semite. You know, it's the absurdity of the accusations, and they're absurd on their face. And, you know, I don't take these guys seriously at all, and perfectly, I don't care. And the more that I'm named by them as their enemy, the better.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like Winston Churchill, who famously said something along the lines, what you have no enemies, then you've probably done nothing in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, the Council on American Islamic Relations, as long as they keep me on their hit list and, you know, their enemies list, good. That means I'm doing something right.
Okay. Rob, thanks. Good talking with you.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, thanks for having me. Right.
Rob Muse from the American Freedom Law Center. We'll come back and talk. I think it was Robert who called earlier. I'm still going to follow up on that, Robert, but I decided over the break that I could give Rob Muse a call. I always feel uncomfortable not mentioning groups by name, but I hate to do it without getting their consent. So over the break, we called Rob and let him come on, tell his point of view. And we'll contact the Southern Poverty Law Center, and we'll come up with a list of groups that, in my estimation, they are way, way over the top on. And we'll see how they respond, and I'll share it with you. All right, the number is 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to the news right now, and then we'll be back with your calls.
Thank you very much, Al. Welcome, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, February 8th. It is the feast of St. Josephine Bakita, and today's news is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. White House spokesman Sean Spicer is praising Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions.
Senator Sessions has a long and distinguished legal career, serving as both the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District of Alabama, and also as Alabama's Attorney General.
Spicer told a briefing today that Sessions deserves confirmation by the Senate. A vote is scheduled in the Senate tonight. Sessions is a veteran Alabama lawmaker and a former federal prosecutor. He is expected to be confirmed by a strict party line vote. New York State lawmakers are considering a bill involving school kids and vaccinations. Ethan Harp reports that the bill is finding support from differing sides of the vaccine debate.
Politico New York says the bill would require every school district in the state to report how many requests it gets for a religious exemption to child immunization laws. Schools would also have to say how many of those appeals are approved or denied. The law requires kids to get 7 vaccines unless they have a religious or medical waiver. The bill is sponsored in the state Senate by Republican Thomas Croce, who praises vaccines, and in the Assembly by Independence Party member Fred Thiel, who once backed a bill that would allow parents to use a philosophical exemption to get their unvaccinated kids into school. Ethan Harp, NBC News Radio, New York.
A federal judge in Philadelphia is holding a hearing today on the NFL's huge concussion settlement to streamline care for retired and injured players. Player attorney Chris Seeger pushed for players to register for care as soon as possible.
If you registered, that starts the process. That means we help them. We'll make sure that they don't miss any other. We'll do the best we can to make sure that they don't miss other deadlines and that they have access to all the available benefits.
The step comes after the U.S. Supreme Court denied a request in December to review the league's agreement with retired players. The estimated $1 billion settlement covers former players suffering from conditions including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS. Today's hearing is expected to clear the way for players to start receiving payouts. And a Polish man who survived 8 concentration camps during the Holocaust is now dead. Chaim Furster passed away Monday in England at the age of 94, surrounded by family. He and his cousin were the only members of his family to survive the Holocaust. Furster went on to run a series of successful businesses and lecture about the Holocaust in schools and universities. And now your fascinating fact for the day. Dachshunds were originally bred to hunt badgers. Strange breeding. For Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Cresta. The number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. So last hour, we focused in on this claim that, and you're hearing it more and more, that America is a white supremacist nation and that it is filled with these underground white supremacist groups. My argument is that if that were the case, most of us would have probably had some experience being approached by these groups for membership or handed their literature. I mean, I go back. Think about this. How many times have you received something from Jehovah's Witnesses? You know, or if you're going, well, it used to be, now it's a little different, but years ago, if you're walking down the streets of New York, you'd be hit by people from Scientology, you'd be hit by Mormons, you'd be hit by Pentecostals, you'd be hit by all kinds of people who were trying to, quote, evangelize you. I've never been hit by one of these white supremacist groups. This goes back on the air 30 years, and even when I was in my teens and spent a lot of time on the streets in Miami and New Haven and New York, I don't recall ever coming across these groups. And I have a better than average interest in this kind of stuff, too. So, I actually can remember receiving stuff. I still remember a tract I was given back in 1974 from the Pacific Garden Mission. But I just think that there's a real danger here in exaggerating evils. And the white supremacist ideology is evil. That's not in question. But when we create boogeymen, we put people in a state of fear. And it can also be very self-serving, because if I tell you there are a lot of boogeymen out there and I'm going to keep you aware of them, then you can also support me. And I've seen this in certain Christian groups that exaggerate their condition, their financial condition, in order to gin up more funds. I've seen it in one evangelical Protestant counter-cult group, which simply expanded the range of organizations they called cults to make them appear to be more necessary to help guard pure doctrine. And I think this happens, and it comes in politics as well, that organizations that once had a very legitimate purpose in helping to overcome various evils never want to finish the job. And they have a vested interest in heightening people's fear that we're going to lapse back into a white supremacist nation, or you know what I'm saying. So it just drives me nuts when I hear this. Let's continue with your calls, though. 1-877-573-7825. We'll take Susie in Washington State first, and then we'll go to Gene in Omaha second. Susie, you're first up.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
Hey, you know, thank you for taking my call, by the way. You know, I really believe that a lot of these groups that are doing this name-calling are trying it on purpose. They're doing this to incite anger and mistrust within the communities. You know, up here in the Northwest, it's so bad you can't say anything that isn't, you know, a lot goes along with the agenda of the very far left.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
your name called, you know, as being everything from the bigot to a white supremacist to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. In fact, Ed Sree, we're going to talk about this tomorrow with Ed Sree. He has an example in the book up there. I think his was in Oregon. Yours would be in Washington State.
Franciscan University of Steubenville is known for its academics and Catholicism, and for good reason. With more than 40 majors and a curriculum that integrates faith and reason, Franciscan University delivers top-notch academics. Campus life centers around Mass, and students can't wait for their semester in Austria to immerse themselves in the history of their Catholic faith. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
Preston in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Father Ben Luckey spoke on purgatory at the March Heart to Heart meeting.
We're going to be concentrating on purgatory in so much as it is a place of preparation, so to speak. It is a place where God expresses his infinite mercy to us, but is also more than just a place. It is a realm of hope It is a realm of not only purification, but it is a realm where those of our brothers and sisters are already saints, where they're on their way to heaven. They're guaranteed heaven. It cannot be taken away from them.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. On a return visit with the Ladies of Heart to Heart Women's Apostolate, Father Ben Luckey taught on the often misunderstood subject of purgatory. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, an anti-American, left-wing, secular progressive organization whose so-called hateless have inspired violence against Christian organizations such as the Family Research Council, has released its latest diatribe. Its newest hit list is titled Field Guide to Anti-Muslim Extremists. SPLC describes the field guide as a journalist's manual, knowing that the left-wing mainstream media will willingly serve as an echo chamber for SPLC's attack on free speech and its attack on those who promote our nation's Judeo-Christian values. This field guide purports to highlight 15 anti-Muslim extremists. I'm proud to report that my fellow co-founder and senior counsel, David Yerushalmi, and I are two of the 15 listed. The field guide is absurd on its face. It lists as an example of extremism an interview I did with Glenn Beck, in which I said that America was the chosen nation and that it was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. At the end of the day, I am reminded of what Winston Churchill once said. You have enemies? Good. That means you stood up for something sometime in your life. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints day by day? Order online at AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab. That's AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Susie, you still with me there in Washington State?
I am.
Good.
I am.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a story here. I was talking earlier today with a friend of mine, Ted Sree, from the Augustine Institute, who's just published a book on relativism. And he tells the story in the book of a young lady named Kara, grew up in a Catholic family, and went to youth group as a teenager, practiced her faith. She was in college. And one professor had a survey he sent out, and he asked questions about moral beliefs and politics. And one of the questions was, how do you feel about homosexual marriage? And she wrote that she was against it. Her friend, after the class was over, her friend asked her, how'd you answer that question? She said, well, I said I was against it. And her friend, who was a guy, said, oh, I said that I was for it. Everybody should have the right to choose their own marriage partner. And they seemed to get along fine. There was a party that night. Kara showed up at the party, and suddenly she found herself on trial. Her friend said, hey, everybody, guess what? Kara said about gay marriage in class today. She said she was against it. Can you believe that? She's against gay marriage? And then Kara, you know, she wasn't equipped to be hit upon like that.
Right.
And so she's right. Devastated when she leaves the party. She tried to explain it. People called her a bigot. Other called her intolerant. She asks after, I mean, here's, you're talking about a 19-year-old kid. And she, after it's over, she's saying, is it worth even letting people know what I think here? Or should I change my position and just let everybody think what they want to think on this? So it does form a huge social pressure to be politically correct and become really at heart a relativist.
Al, our daughter's now married, but when she was in college, and this was, 14 years ago, she was in a big college, and she was wanting to be
to go to law school. And the head of the law department was teaching this particular class that she was taking. And she, at the end, she had straight A's in the class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was, everybody was supposed to do a research project and write a, you know, come to a conclusion and do a presentation and, you know, state their opinion as to why this, you know, this is how they, what they chose. And so she chose late-term abortion
mm-hmm.
because she figured she was, and she's the type of girl that, it doesn't matter what we tell her. She's going to do it on. She's going to think it on her own. She's going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So she's first. She had everybody raise their hand if they were for it, including she said she wanted the professor to also. And so everybody but two people were for it. So she goes on and she gives the whole information, everything, all sorts of, you know, every. Researcher she could find, and by the time she was done, she said, I'm telling you that I am against it because of A, B, C, D, E, F, you get it? So then she asked, she said, I'd like you to stand up if you have changed your mind. Almost the whole class stood up.
Wow.
And they gave her a standing ovation.
She is one gutsy person. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what? A professor gave her a C minus.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep.
Oh.
No, I'm not. And so you know what she said? I said, you should fight that. And she goes, Mom, you don't get it. I did this because I wanted to know if I could stay in this department and I could be ethical. Because if I couldn't, I didn't want to be an attorney and not be able to be ethical.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, you got more guts than I would have at that age. But the whole thing is, like, she tells me, you know, she's got young kids, and she says, Mom, I can't, I'm on Facebook, and I am getting beat up by the most, you know, people they're supposedly friends because, you know, they're mad at her because she didn't, you know, because she voted independent because she didn't, you know, because of her, Trump won. And she's like, are you kidding me? We're in Washington State. Trump didn't win in Washington State anyway. It wouldn't have mattered how I vote. But the thing is, they're not, they don't think. They don't think. They're just, and they bully. But you know, Al, I really believe this, that if we don't all stand up against the media, against this kind of bullying, we're going to end up with civil war, it's scary.
Let me tell you, there's a book that's about 5 years old now, and it, at the time it was getting some attention, and then it disappeared. It's called The Righteous Mind. It's by a social psychologist by the name of Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T. I'm going to bring it into the conversation here. I did 5 years ago. But he talks about why it is that people... Even when faced with, it explores the link between truth and people's political opinions as well as religious opinions. And how often a person's opinion isn't based on evidence or reason. It's based on images. It's based on how they've seen something portrayed. So... We saw that, I think, with the same-sex marriage debate. We saw Hollywood present the very best image possible of same-sex couples and things of that sort. And people really weren't thinking about this. I think it's the strangest thing that people who supported same-sex so-called marriage could do so without ever thinking about the teleology and design of the human body. That they,
right.
And I brought this up time and time again, and I brought it up, in fact, with an Episcopalian priest years ago, and when I said, you know, don't you think that God created us male and female, and it's evident by the difference in our bodies? Don't our bodies mean anything? And he said, well, he said, that's just the plumbing argument. That was his response. So, this the
you're supposed to be intelligent people. That's
right,
just amazing.
Right. So Jonathan Haidt, The Righteous Mind, will help you find out, you know, why this is happening. But you're right. We are heading for an ideological clash like we haven't seen since slavery. Let's just hope it doesn't become a violent clash. So,
yes,
appreciate the call,
well,
Susie.
God bless you.
Yeah. Our number again is 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Omaha.
How you want to use the process.
Gene, how are you? It's good to have you with me.
Thank you, Al. I really appreciate the work you do.
Thank you.
You know, I'm calling because I heard an earlier caller talking about civil law and religious people.
Yeah.
Kind of imposing morality in the law, that sort of argument.
Well, I think you might have misunderstood. I don't think anybody's making that case here. But go ahead. Tell us where you were going with that.
Well, I think that there's a false opposition here. I think people don't realize that all law, including civil law, all law is moral by nature, de facto.
Yeah.
All law, including civil law, mm-hmm. promotes certain behaviors.
Yeah.
And it discourages other behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's moral. I think people who are concerned about religious people influencing law unduly don't realize that civil law is moral by itself.
Well, I agree. I agree with you. The conversation that was being had earlier was whether hate speech legislation was necessary to curb certain types of political free speech. And my argument was that I thought racist groups that use outrageous language, I'm not afraid of them using it. I think they discredit themselves when they do, and I don't think we need to stifle their free speech. But I think Christians should use moral influence to tell them that's just not the way we refer to other human beings who are made in God's image. So
I agree, and I think one of the major problems we're having, or one of the solutions that we have not used yet as Christians and others, is to recognize and to honor the dignity of the other person.
Yeah.
You and I would never speak to someone with the foul language
right.
that some of these hate groups do, because we recognize the dignity of the individual
right.
person. They are made in the image and likeness of God. And if all Christians, Catholics, evangelicals, Protestants, every variety of possible Christian you can think of, were able to live the representation and the respect of the dignity of the individual in the public square, we would be in a different America today.
I couldn't agree more. Since the mid-1980s, public discourse in America has gotten cruder and cruder. And I don't know. I'm sorry to have seen it. But I think it's Christians who can actually elevate the discourse, because we're disciples of the Logos. We're disciples
yep.
of the Word. So
I'm going out of my way right now to initiate dialogues and conversations
yeah.
with all sorts of different kinds of people.
Good for you.
Simply with my goal being, one, to open dialogue, and two, to demonstrate respect for the dignity of the individual.
Very good. Good hearing from you, Gene. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your work. God bless
you.
Yeah,
and call us to tell us stories, too, of what you run into. All right? Yeah, well, she must have gotten cut off. But anyways, when Gene wants to call back, Dan, with a story next week, something, let's hear a story. I like stories. Let's go to James. I'll tell you what, yeah, we got James in Wichita, in Kansas, who's been waiting. Good to have you, James.
Well, good afternoon.
Hi.
I was just calling about your comment earlier about, there ought to be people out there recruiting people
yeah.
to join these white supremacist groups.
You're right.
And I'm probably in the demographic that I'm 60 years old now, but I'm probably in the demographic they're looking at: white, ex-military, gun owner, religious. And I've lived in the same town for the last 20 years, and I've never been approached.
That's
I like that. It seems strange that if they're out there doing that, then why haven't I heard them?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of those boogeymen that were being sold, and the greatest I'm convinced that the mainstream media does more to keep these white supremacist groups alive than the groups can do themselves, because they create a false sense of fear. And when we see groups like this in public, we should do our best, of course, to present the gospel and to let everybody know that as Christians we believe that there's one race, the human race. We all descend from Adam, and there's nothing intrinsically different about differences in skin pigmentation. But I don't think, I think we're being sold a bill of goods by a lot of these groups. And it's a boogeyman. It's kind of the secular equivalent of Antichrist. And you can get people scared about it, and also you can raise money doing it. James, thanks for the call.
Not a problem. Thank you.
The number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825.
Attention, Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare Supplement owners. What can you do about the 250% rate increase that is affecting you right now? You can call Brett Huffmaster at the Huffmaster Group. Brett is a licensed agent with over 10 different insurance companies. You need an independent agent who can study your situation and come up with a solution for you. Brett is an experienced, caring professional who wants to help you now. If you don't know insurance, know your agent, Brett Huffmaster at the Huffmaster Group. Call 888-447-6565 for a free quote today. That's 888-447-6565.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta with Steve Ray, producer of the Footprints of God documentary and expert pilgrimage guide. We're going to the Holy Land after 20-plus years of planning.
Yes, I've been wanting you to go with me for a long time, Al, and now I get to finally take you, and we're going to take a lot of other excited pilgrims to share it along with you for the first time.
How many times have you been there?
Over 150.
And this is my first time.
I can't wait to show it to you.
Looking forward to being there. It's September 24th through October 3rd, 2017. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net or
FootprintsOfGod.com.
At the Divine Mercy Center in Clinton Township, it's always a year of mercy. From a first-class relic of St. Faustina to a Catholic gift shop, we're your source for all things Divine Mercy. Join us every Wednesday for 10:30 a.m. Mass, confessions, and a healing retreat. Plus, each weekday features times for Eucharistic adoration and personal prayer with trained prayer ministers. For more information, call 586-777-8591 or visit sjdivinemercy.org.
This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, a Catholic healthcare ministry that provides an affordable Catholic healthcare option nationwide. We have come to a unique time in our history. Healthcare costs are rising, and our religious freedom is being challenged. CMF Curo empowers you to live the new evangelization in your healthcare. Visit our website for more information about CMF Curo. Go to cmfcuro.com. That's cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Do you have an angry child? Sounds scary, doesn't it? He's an angry child. He seems to have a lot of anger in him. There's a rage. He goes into a rage. Well, most of the time when I hear this description, there really isn't any kind of deep-seated psychological anger or rage. It would be better labeled frustration. There is frustration. Why? Many times because the child is not getting his or her way. When I ask parents, when is he most angry? When do you see this rage? They will say, when I don't let him do something he wants. When I try to make him do something he doesn't want. You see, it's not rage. It's not even anger. It's upset. It's mad. Because I don't like the way you're raising me, Mother. I don't like what you're requiring of me. But if you label it anger or rage, it sounds psychologically scary. It sounds worrisome. It sounds like something you have to be really deeply concerned about. And in most cases, it is not. Much of the time, kids who get angry because you or the world is not behaving as they would like. Nothing much more complex than that. I'm Dr. Rick.
In 1967, college students seeking the Lord prayed for a new Pentecost. The Holy Spirit broke out amongst them, rippling throughout the world. The Amazing Grace Catholic Charismatic Conference will celebrate the power of the Spirit throughout these 50 years. February 17th through the 19th, at Eastern Michigan's Convocation Center. Go to www.dccr.info and click on events for information. That's www.dccr.info.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting.
But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
Well, right now we're in a, kind of a snow blizzard, which is very rare. So anyhow, we might make the national news.
Oh, good. We'll be looking for you.
All right. What can we talk about? Well, it's hard to put really close. You were talking about Southern Law Poverty, and I'll agree.
Southern Poverty Law Center,
I did get some help from them, let's see, in about 96.
Okay.
They were helpful. But I've been listening to you, and it's true. I am, you know, anti-abortion, but I don't come out there with, you know, sharp teeth, because that's not how you go about getting your morals out there. The problem is when you get with some of these people that are pro-choice, they call the fetus tissue, they call it a parasite,
right.
And the mother is a host, which puts it at about the lowest level.
Right.
All right. So it's not that I'm going to get into this contest, but here's my deal. They have such press coverage, you know, that far left. And then we have that young man, I believe it was, that had those DVDs, or not DVDs, but videos.
Yeah, David DeLayden, the Unplanned Parenthood.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if they have all this stuff, and I know it's gruesome, and what they show on TV is horrific with just your regular shows, you know, like, I don't know, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How come, why can't we, what would happen just showing, you know, graphic pictures...
Right. Of what happens during an abortion, yeah.
Right, okay, why not? And that's my question, and I'm not going to say anything more, so
Well,
help me.
It's a question that's been asked before, Regina, and I'll tell you, the answer to it is that I think 75% of those in the prestige media, maybe more, support so-called abortion rights. When you go to New York Times, Washington Post, Time Magazine, I don't know if you can continue Newsweek to think of them as prestige media anymore, but CNN, what you find are those who are reporters there, an editorial staff, they are strongly in favor of abortion rights. And I think they find the suggestion that we show, that they show, what happens during an abortion, I think they find it repulsive. And they come back. I've been in conversation with a person about this at the ABC affiliate in Detroit years ago. And he told me, well, we don't just show people gallbladder operations. And I said, well, no, actually you do. I mean, we do show all kinds of operations. Maybe you don't show them during prime time, but frequently there are medical shows that show all kinds of surgical procedures. So, no, I don't think there's any good reason not to show what happens during an abortion. Now, there's another comeback. Another comeback is, well, most abortions take place before the child has is visually very well defined. Well, still, that doesn't change what's going on in an abortion. It just changes what you see immediately. I think what you can do in that case, if you want to show what goes on during most abortions, I think what you do is you start off by demonstrating fetal development and then simply point to where this child was in, where when the abortion took place, the child was in this stage of fetal development. I think it's a disgrace. I think on a major policy issue like this, in which the American people remain very divided, that for the press to have shirked its responsibility to present clear evidence of what goes on during an abortion. I think it's disgraceful. And I think it's once again evidence that those who are in the prestige media and the elite media are not so concerned that the truth be presented. I think they are most concerned about appearing acceptable with their own kind. I think they actually create much of their broadcasting for themselves, for their colleagues, for the people in their guild. A good exercise would be to go to some of these very elite advertising journals where those in the advertising world give awards and select some of the best advertising year after year after year. You'll be surprised at how many of those ads really were not very effective at selling products or services. They were most effective at impressing other ad men. So, but no, I think Father Pavone's right when he says America will not end abortion until they actually see abortion. So I'm one of those who supports the proper use of abortion victim photographs. I think Dr. Monica Miller has written a book like this. I've contributed a small reflection to a little booklet dealing with that. In fact, we'll get the exact name for you in just a minute here, and right. We'll tell people about it. So thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Our number is 1-877-573-7825. Dan, let's make sure we get the name of that little booklet that Dr. Monica Miller edited, and I contributed a little reflection in it. It's a beautiful little booklet. All right, let's go to Lynn in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Lynn, you with us? Okay, Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I got an idea.
Yeah,
I love you, Al. I've listened to you for years.
Well, thank you.
But I think when they defund Planned Parenthood, they should run it like a co-op, and then they should make the couples that had the fetus come and clean up at Planned Parenthood and see how many more abortions they have.
Say that again. I'm not sure I got your point. Go ahead and say it again because I lost your voice a little bit.
Well, I argue with my family about this, and I think that, you know, the way that it's set up with abortion, that they can disassociate with what's happening.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that if Planned Parenthood is defunded,
mm-hmm.
then run it like a co-op and make the people that use it, the couple, the mother and the father, clean up at Planned Parenthood and see.
Oh, my gosh.
See how they like, how many more abortions they have and if they still call it a fetus.
Oh, that is pretty creative thinking there. So, Planned Parenthood loses its funding, and so it has to still, it's going to continue doing abortions. How are they going to get payment for it? What they do is they would create a co-op so that those who are seeking abortion can pay for it by helping to clean up in the surgery rooms. That is one heck of an idea.
You know, like they always make criminals go to that scared straight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that I just thought, I mean, we really got to put guys in the equation, too. They just tune out and don't get it that they're such a big part of it.
Oh, I know. The abortion has been for the secular man, abortion has been a blessing. They're so happy to have another form of birth control. It's disgraceful. But anybody who thinks that abortion was about a woman's right to her own body, it was about a male's right to continue irresponsible behavior too.
And you know, I somehow got lucky in the 70s and 80s and never had to have one.
Yeah.
And it is in my 60s now. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about any of that, and then I got through it without any scars. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Those were tough years for us, for a lot of us who have scars from our behaviors then. Thanks for
the
call.
That's another thing I wanted to say, too, like when you watch the march, and if you grew up in this area in the 70s, we know how many impulsive, loud behaviors were encouraged and how we suffered for it later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like hearing them yell at that march was an extreme of what happened to us, and it didn't end well.
Right.
You know?
Right. No,
you know what I mean? In a lot of ways.
Appreciate the call, Lynn. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk again. I promised to tell you about the book. It's called I Was a Stranger, Meditations on the Innocent Unborn Lost to Abortion. It's inexpensive, too. Do we have it? We ought to have it. If we don't have it in our online bookstore, we're crazy. So if we don't have it today in the online bookstore, we'll have it in the next day or so. But Monica's book, Abandoned, The Untold Story of the Abortion Wars, maybe the best single volume you can read. It's also good to be able to, you can give it to people who are actually not pro-life, and I think they would get it. But this little booklet, I Was a Stranger, Meditations on the Innocent Unborn Lost to Abortion, is it's only about $6, I think. And what you've got there are abortion victim photos, and then people like Father Pavone, myself, Monica, and at least a dozen others, Joe Scheidler, have contributed reflections on these photos, the photos themselves. So in some ways, it's a very strange book. It's you might say, a poetic reflection on the brutality of abortion, but looking at these color photos of the victims. And you can't help but imagine, looking at those photos, what might have happened had this child been permitted to participate fully in human life here on Earth, if they hadn't been so prematurely cut off. But it's a wonderful little booklet. For that price, everybody should have a copy of it. I Was a Stranger, Meditations on the Innocent Unborn Lost to Abortion. Just came out last August, so it's still good. I'm Al Kressler. Be back in just a minute here.
In 1967, college students seeking the Lord prayed for a new Pentecost. The Holy Spirit broke out amongst them, rippling throughout the world. The Amazing Grace Catholic Charismatic Conference will celebrate the power of the Spirit throughout these 50 years, February 17th through the 19th, at Eastern Michigan's Convocation Center. Go to www.dccr.info and click on events for information. That's www.dccr.info.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
Defund Planned Parenthood. Stand up for life at Planned Parenthood clinics all over the United States. Saturday, February 11th. Rallies are planned in Detroit, Livonia, Ferndale, Grand Rapids, and other cities. For all locations and times, see protestpp.com. Let's get out there, witness to life, and defund the abortion giant. Saturday, February 11th, see protestpp.com.
Activism with logic and love. Two ways to I do have in Dangers of the Faith. I have a chapter dealing with relativism, and I'm delighted to see Ed contributing a whole book to it, and also a very practical way, conversationally. How do you respond to relativism? Time and again, people say that they think if you offer moral judgments that you're being cruel, that you're burdening people. They don't understand that the moral law, or what we call the natural law, or the commandments, are not there to throttle human development. They're there to free humans so that they can flourish and be all that they were created to be. So he'll be with us to talk about, again, this idea of, well, you've got your truth and I've got my truth, but there's no real truth. He's going to be here to talk about how to respond to that kind of thinking. Who am I to judge responding to relativism with logic and love? Dr. Edward Sree tomorrow. And then we're also going to take a look at an organization that tries to encourage participation with Catholic ministries and services all over the world. It's called Missio.org, M-I-S-S-I-O. Missio.org. It services hundreds of pontifical-based Catholic charities, educational groups, and, of course, evangelistic groups. And you can stay right in touch with them. It's a wonderful, wonderful service and a wonderful app on your smartphone. So pray for us, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. The executive producer is Nick Tom. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's A-V-E-M-A-R-I-A, radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord. Our relationship to the church. The precepts of the church. Our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CAR.